Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host. Today's podcast, number 13, February 9th, 2006. I'll be joined by my co-host, Steve Faub, and we're produced by David Tapia. Desiree will be calling in on the second half of the show. Steve?
This F1 Weekly podcast is brought to you by the Firefox web browser. The innovative Firefox browser makes surfing the web faster and safer. With the included Google Toolbar, features like autofill, spell check, pop-up blocking, and tab browsing, it will make your internet browsing more convenient. Together, they'll change the way you surf the internet for free. Just click on the button on our homepage, f1weekly.com.
Thank you, Steve. We'd like to welcome Will from mypodcasttrivia.com. He's going to provide us with some Formula One-related questions. We're going to play his question and give you the answer at the end of our podcast. If you guys like this new segment, let us know. My Podcast Trivia is going to have a special Formula One-related podcast on Monday after the first Formula One race at Bahrain. Steve, how are you tonight?
I'm doing pretty well, Clark. How about yourself?
Not too bad. Pretty interesting day. Some pretty cool stuff on the wires today.
Yeah, some interesting follow-ups to some of the stuff that we talked about on Tuesday, too.
And what was that?
Well, basically Bernie coming out and going, kind of telling Max to shut up because he's got the whole GPMA thing under control.
That's right. Bernie does have some testicular fortitude, and I thought Max was going overboard with his suggestive speeches. And obviously, I think he should always stay out of the finances because really that's, I just think it's almost unethical for him to bring things like that up.
Yeah, well, he really doesn't have any business in there.
Well, he wants to play Robin Hood all the time. Steal from the rich, give to the poor. I just wish he would knock it off. Let's get into the good stuff. Yep. Gerhard Berger buys 50% of Toro Rosso. I thought that was very interesting, but it's a very big mutual agreement because Gerhard Berger runs a shipping company. So obviously they're going to start shipping some Toro Rosso, Red Bull, same thing.
Well, didn't he give up like 50% of his shipping company?
No, I don't think it was that much. But Gerhard Berger loves F1, and he just can't stay away.
Yeah, it was a big. He gave a pretty good big chunk to Mr. Red Bull.
And I think it's a great idea because I think to own two teams has got to be overwhelming. Share some of that burden with Gerhard Berger. Gerhard's got the experience. He's good. I like him. I liked him when he was racing, and I think it's wonderful.
I think it was a really adroit move on Red Bull's part to bring him into the fold because they can use him for both teams. He's it sounds to me like he's a really good choice for kind of getting Scudero Toro Rosso off the ground and kind of off on the right foot.
Not only that, but for some trivia right off the top here, Gerhard Berger was one of the first race car drivers to drink Red Bull about 12 years ago in Formula One.
Oh, interesting.
So there you have it.
He's got a long history with...
Also, speaking of interesting individuals, Simon Fuller, the former Spice Girls producer, manager... he's a big PR guy. They call him the PR guru.
He's also the founder of American Idol.
He is. I thought he was co-founder, I believe, or really.
Well, he's famous. He's one for so he's making them famous.
But I like what he's been hired by Honda to help their image.
so that means we're gonna have like the drive off like they were having for the trucks. Where
I don't know, but I if it means more girls and miniskirts and maybe a better livery on the car that's a little more up to date.
Or a little, because little they bit lose, more imaginative.
Well, they lose the Lucky Strike logo, which has dominated the car. So, for some reason, we're having airplanes fly over the studio today. We don't know why, but bear with us. So anyway, I think it's great. Excitement into F1. 2006 is starting off pretty cool. Also, back to Toro Rosso real quickly. The STR-01 came out today.
Ooh. Did you see any photos of it?
Yeah, I did. There's a number of photos about. It's not exhilarating. The livery was plain, but it's their car. I like it. It's not the RBR1, It's definitely a new evolution of that, and I think it looks good.
Cool.
And now in testing, it did poorly.
I've done some photos, but they could be the driver.
They were 12. It was wheezy.
What are they running for an engine?
Cosworth V10.
Limited.
Correct.
Okay, that's another issue.
And Wheezy said that it was strange to drive it because it was limited, and now the power band is completely changed and it's in a different spot.
Mm.
So the limiting of the V10s definitely changes the driver's styles, the way, even the tire selection, because it's not going to be as hard on the tires. You're not at the edge of the limit.
Right, and you're not putting down nearly as much.
So to be honest with you, from what I've been reading, the simulations from the V10s to the V8s is very similar when the V10 is
limited,
as they say. Another interesting thing I saw was the president of Renault, Carlos Ghosn, babbling about now he's going to analyze F1 on an annual basis. And the Renault team in Estone, England, started freaking out because they're trying to find long-term...
Well, you want long-term sponsorship contracts because that's
money. How do you get long-term sponsorship contracts when you're telling everybody that you're gonna go from year to year now and determine...
It's going to be really tough.
It's going to be very tough because they're losing Mile 7 after this year. Mile 7 is a huge sponsor. They're going to have to get a number of baby sponsors to make up that loss in revenue. It's not going to be easy. And with Carlos babbling like that, he's an intelligent man. He's got intelligent advisors. He knew what he was doing. He said it on purpose. Maybe it was just to be honest and said it straight that, you know, telling the sponsors right up, we're not here.
Well, I think for him, too, a lot of it's going to have to do with what kind of sponsorship they can get once Mile 7 pulls out, because the fewer outside sponsors, that means more of the burden on Renault to carry the team.
Well, yeah, they don't want to do that.
Exactly.
And it's going to be murder. I think it was sort of a mistake on his part, but I'm sure he's doing something that he wants to do, and we'll see how it turns out.
They always write their contracts.
Well, Briatore was all pissed off about it.
Yeah.
He started to cry. Seriously, it was bad. Jerez was pretty interesting. A lot of teams. How many teams were practicing in Jerez? 8?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Of course, McLaren is still testing an MP420 with a V10. Well, that's hard to believe.
They were fastest today.
I know they were fastest. Number one with a V10. But what I don't understand is the only other team that's still running with a V10, I believe, is Toro Rosso. Everybody else
has got their 8s up, running, and going well.
Exactly. Well, I mean, everybody's having some problems, including Honda, but with little hiccups. But even Kimi Raikkonen had a problem today.
Yeah. He did get to 9th on the...
He got to 9th.
Yep. Before his car gave up the ghost. I thought it kind of interesting, though, that even though Pedro had the fastest time today, he was barely two one hundredths of a second faster than the Renault
with a restricted V10.
Yeah.
And
he's faster, but just barely.
And let's not forget, Pedro de la Rosa is a fast driver. He's very quick.
Yeah.
That's why he's got that position. Had that position for a long time. He's excellent and knows how to push the car. And he's so familiar with the MP420. That I'm not surprised at all. So I think the McLarens are picking up the pace, but they still have a problem with the V8. I know they're running the Rev B V8. There's another one coming out pretty soon. Kimi Raikkonen found himself off the pace in 9th place, like you said, Steve. Had car problems. Was limited to just 40 laps. And I believe it was an oil leak in the gearbox. They had a problem with the gearbox. They had a problem with an oil leak on the engine. And to repair those two problems, they had to pull the units out of the car. They could not repair them in the car. And that means it's a fairly...
That means pretty much the day is toast.
Well, it is. And Kimi does not need those kinds of days. I know he's going to get frustrated. Yep. And I foresee just bad karma for this guy for the rest of the year.
Yeah, that doesn't do him well, considering he had to fight through that last season.
I know.
And you know that that's just turning around in the back of his mind as he's sitting on the bench watching the mechanics tear apart the car.
I wonder if he ever speaks with his fellow Finn, Mika Hakkinen. Because Mika, you know, he went through some tough times with McLaren, having some blow-ups at some really bad times. He yet persevered and won two championships with McLaren. I was just reading today that Hakkinen is eyeing the Andros Trophy, which is a ice racing trophy. Actually, Alan Prost tried it a little bit.
Is that in automobiles?
Yes, of course. What do you think? Skis?
Well, could be like ice yachting or something.
Exactly. Like curling?
No. Yachting, you know, boats with...
No.
With
no, yeah, it's an auto race in the ice. Studded tires, it's fun. It's a blast.
I've seen the motorcycle races.
It's very, very cool. It's very, very cool. Also, the Cosworth Williams FW28 today did very good.
Yeah. They're right up there behind the...
I think everybody's underestimated Cosworth. I think they've got a great V8. They were third in the running today in Jerez, if I got my figures right. Honda today admitted that Cosworth is doing a better job in designing their motor, and Honda's actually admitted that they're a little behind and that Cosworth could have the upper hand on them. So, ladies and gentlemen, Honda... It might not be what you guys think it is. A lot of people are expecting the running to go like this. Renault, Ferrari, Honda, McLaren. I don't think it's going to happen. From the data keeps changing every day, and Williams could be up there. And Dr. Mario Thiessen will have to cry.
Yeah. Well, the Saubers were up a little bit high today,
too. The Saubers are doing pretty good, I have to admit. Jacques Villeneuve is totally pumped up. He is really excited about this team. He's, you know, lived through the beginning of a new team with BAR, which was just a total sham for him. Now he's in a new team again, even though it's a little different. It's the merging of two, but they are now a manufacturer.
It's a new old team.
I'm a JV fan. I like Jacques Villeneuve, and I think they're going to do well.
I think they're going to do quite well. Their car seems to be coming together. The BMW power plant seems to be holding up significantly better than Mercedes plant is. So
true, and I think I like Red Bull, but I think they'll be in the middle of the field ahead of Red Bull. That's my prediction. I think it's wonderful. Also interesting, three teams are going to Bahrain next week for testing. Only three, because last podcast we discussed how people are doing tire evaluations in Spain right now, in Jerez, Valencia, Barcelona, wherever they may be that particular week. But the problem is it's winter, and even though Spain is a nice warm country, they don't have the temperatures right now like Bahrain. So three teams are going to Bahrain. Can you help me out, Steve? Which teams? We know it's Ferrari.
Teams. Yeah, Ferrari. I have a mail about that today.
I think it's Honda.
Red Bull.
And Red Bull. Three teams are going to Bahrain to test in the right temperatures and the heat. And I can't believe nobody else has stepped up to this. I guess they think their simulations are going to be good enough.
That could be a cost factor.
The cost factor, yes,
really
indeed.
A cheap trip.
I agree.
To take.
Now, Ferrari has tested in Bahrain before in the past, but never Honda and Red Bull. So I'm quite surprised that they're going to Bahrain, but it's an intelligent decision.
Yeah, well, especially considering the change in motors.
Also, I think what's going on, you have a Bridgestone runner, Red Bull, I believe, is on Michelin's, and Honda is on Michelin's. So I'm sure that data will be shared with the other teams as usual.
Right.
Because Michelin and Bridgestone have an agreement with their
teams.
Correct.
The tire data
correct.
Is shared among everybody.
I agree. Also, I saw something really interesting today, is Telefonica, the big Spanish conglomerate, phone and other, internet access. They have everything, and they're really big in Colombia, Brazil, Peru. They want Juan Pablo Montoya to drive for Renault next year. They're the biggest, they're the next to Mile 7, they're the biggest sponsor at Renault. And all of a sudden, they spoke out late yesterday saying they want Juan Pablo Montoya to drive a Renault.
That is definitely interesting.
I think it's weird.
But, you know, if you've got a sponsor that wants, you know,
a specific driver.
Exactly. You kind of got to go with it to a certain degree.
Yeah, but Renault will never have two senior drivers. There'll always be a young driver and an experienced driver, just like what they had starting with Giancarlo Fisichella and Fernando Alonso.
Yeah, but you were mentioning that Fizzy's contract
hasn't been re-upped. It ends in 2006. Fisichella has said that he wants to stay at Renault. But when you hear things like JPM, because Heikki Kovalainen is well-liked. Briatore likes...
Yeah, and he's, you know, the young gun.
I think
gun.
He's in.
Yeah, he's the young gun. You know, he's probably coming relatively cheap.
And Juan Pablo is younger than Giancarlo Fisichella. So I believe if Giancarlo doesn't do well in the first half of the season, not even the whole season, the first half of the season, he can kiss it goodbye.
Yeah, he'll move with Fernando over to McLaren.
No, I think he'll be practically out of F1. He's getting old. He's like 33 years old.
Yeah, mid-30s.
So, I mean, once you hit that age, Juan Pablo is only 28.
But
then it gets rough. And there's a lot of young talent coming in. I mean, Sebastian Bourdais can't even get a job in F1. And he's only, what, 20? I think he's 28.
Yeah, I think he is.
So, I don't know. Frank Montagny couldn't get a job in F1. I think he's testing champ cars. It's stunning.
And Nelson Piquet Jr. can't get a job in F1.
Yeah, but Nelson Piquet Jr. has some issues.
Yeah, there's a little article about
I couldn't about believe
him.
What I was reading today. Scott Speed is in F1 because his last name is Speed.
Yeah,
it's like, and he's an American? First of all, I'm not a big fan of Scott Speed. I've watched him in GP2 make some terrible mistakes, pulling into the wrong pits. But he certainly has some talent, and for Nelson Piquet Jr. to say that he's in F1 because he's an American and his last name is Speed is absolutely off the mark. I'm sorry, but first of all, being an American has never been advantageous ever since Michael Andretti
kind of
drove for McLaren and couldn't finish the season. He was a complete embarrassment, and since that particular year, Americans have never bode well with anybody in F1. Now, I have to admit, Red Bull is a more significant factor in the fact that Speed is in F1. But Speed has worked for his position.
Exactly.
And let's not forget, he's driving for Toro Rosso, a B team. I think Nelson Piquet Jr. I would like to at least accomplish what Nico Rosberg is accomplished.
Right. He wants to get into F1
yes.
like his father.
Yes, yes. So we'll see what happens. And by the way, just a quick A1 Grand Prix fact. Nelson Piquet Jr. Was replaced this week by Christian Fittipaldi for the Brazilian team. And they're racing in Indonesia this weekend.
Which means we'll get to see it next weekend.
On the Outdoor Living Channel or
Network.
Network. Yeah. So,
OLN.
But I think that's going to be interesting because Christian Fittipaldi has tried NASCAR with not doing very well. He did decent in Champ Car, but I'm glad he got a ride. And let's not forget his uncle is Emerson Fittipaldi, who's the team principal for the Brazilian A1 Grand Prix.
Yeah.
It's all very, very interesting.
Definitely.
Definitely?
Yeah, here's another interesting one.
What's that?
Do you know Michael Schumacher's unemployed?
I heard about that. What happened? You're fired.
Actually, he's officially unemployed.
Now, this is...
It's more of a tax deal for him. Because motor racing is not recognized in Switzerland, which is where he lives.
It's banned.
Yeah. And so he has to register as an unemployed foreigner for the tax stuff in Switzerland. So... You know, even though his income tops more than $50 million a year, the unemployed label means the 37-year-old Schumacher only has to pay annual charges based on an income of $300,000 US.
I like it. I think that's why they moved to Switzerland.
If I were pulling off 50 monsters and I only had to pay on $300,000.
Who just bought a house in Switzerland? Fernando Alonso.
And there's like five or six.
Well, there. Jacques Villeneuve and Nick Heidfeld just moved there, but that's because they wanted to be close to Hinwil, the factory.
Yeah, but it's certainly nice.
But that's an interesting piece of data. Keep up the good work, Steve. I like it.
We try to track down the odd little tidbits.
Okay, we're going to have to go to a sponsor break. So we'll be back in 60 seconds.
How far is the moon from the Earth?
Interested in trivia? Please tune in to My Trivia Podcast, a weekly podcast rarely more than 8 minutes in duration, with 10 or more questions and answers of fun facts about topics such as science, geography, history, and there's even some audio thrown in. You can find My Trivia Podcast in iTunes, Podcast Alley, and other podcast sites, or you can go to www.mytriviapodcast.com. Hope to have you tuning in.
The moon is a quarter of a million miles away. The capital...
Hi, this is Steve with F1Weekly.com. Our podcasts are brought to you by Google AdSense and the Firefox web browser. The innovative Firefox browser makes surfing the web faster and safer with the included Google toolbar and features like autofill and spell check. It will make your browsing more convenient. Together, they'll change the way you surf the internet for free. Just click on the button on our homepage.
Welcome back to F1Weekly.com. Clark Rogers here, your host. I'm joined by Steve Fall, my co-host, and we're produced by David Tapia. Now, here's a trivia question from Will at mypodcasttrivia.com.
Hi, Will Jones here from My Trivia Podcast with today's Formula One trivia. In 2004, Michael Schumacher had 13 Formula One victories en route to one of his seven world championships, and it was the most wins in a single season by a driver. However, there were two occasions where the champion of a particular year only had one victory in his season. One of them was in 1958, where Mike Hawthorn only won the French Grand Prix, but ended up winning the championship for Ferrari. What was the other year, and who was the driver? I'll have your answer toward the end of the podcast.
Okay, that was a very interesting question. And we'll be getting that answer to that very interesting trivia question in our third segment in the wrap-up of the podcast. Now, we're going to go back to Desiree. She's called in, she's on hold, and she's ready to give us a full story on McLaren and other interesting happenings in F1. Desiree, are you with us?
Yes, hello, Clark.
Hi, Desiree, how are you?
Hi, I'm fine. It's been warm this week in the coast.
How? I was just going to ask you, the weather's good?
Yes, and in the area where I live, they had the big Maverick surf contest. That was the big news in this area.
Oh, yeah, I read about that.
Where they surf 30 to 40-foot waves, and the winner of the contest was a South African.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Now to F1 news.
Excellent. My favorite sport.
Okay, what do you got for us?
Well, I was listening to your last podcast, Clark and Steve, and you were saying you hope that we could get pictures of the new super glittery car.
Mm-hmm.
No pictures are available yet.
And why is that?
Because they haven't officially come out. They haven't driven. The official launch doesn't take place till right before Bahrain.
Right, and I think that they're probably still doing so many modifications to these 2002 A23 Aeros that the pictures would be pretty ugly right now.
Right. All I had was like a preliminary sketch that somebody drew of what it might look like. You know, so it's pretty funny. They'll shake down their 2006 Challenger on Valentine's Day.
Excellent.
And it's going to be called the SA. SA is a Super Aguri. The 05. And the reason they're calling it 05, not the 06, is because when they're using the Arrows chassis, it's the 05. And then later on in the year, they're going to transition into their own all Super Aguri chassis, and that'll be the SA06.
Okay. Hey, have you heard anybody talk about the Super Aguri artwork? Have you seen their logo?
Well, that logo that kind of looks like a twisted asterisk, risks or something.
Asterisk, yes.
Yeah, that's all I've seen. They have no website still open.
Okay.
That's all it has. But they do have staff members now.
Yeah, it's just that I've heard somebody compare it to another logo, but I'm not going to mention it right now.
Oh, until we can actually see it.
Well, yeah. We might bring it up at the end of the program.
Okay.
Okay. What do you got for McLaren today?
Okay, for McLaren today, a lot of quotes coming out of the Mercedes Motorsport boss hog, as you call him, Norbert Haug.
Mm-hmm.
He's dismissing any claims that McLaren is in crisis. He was quoted saying to the press that last year at the same time, the team wasn't the winners of the winter testing phase, nor the beginning of the season. So I guess he's inferring that this season will be the same. They're going to improve quite a bit. And he told the Spanish newspaper that the MP21's biggest problem is not the V8 engine, but the gearbox.
Really?
And, yeah, so of course it's not Mercedes, and that new parts will be arriving in Jerez soon, which is this week. And also he's rejecting claims that since McLaren lost their cigarette sponsor, West, remember wondering why their name isn't West?
But I thought
Mercedes, because they lost them as of like Hungary it was last year.
Correct.
And that he's denying that money's a problem. In fact, he's like saying there is no hole in the budget. In this department, we are doing well. There is no crisis. Our objective has been to win the title, and it remains so. So they've got the money still, they're trying to say. And he responded to what Flavio made a remark that McLaren has no class. He denied that the announcing of Alonso was a tactic. He says that I don't think you can hide contracts that have been signed. We want to be open and honest with the public and the media. If people think we have bad intentions, I cannot help that.
I like
But now they want to be open and honest.
I think it's beautiful.
Yeah, which I think of McLaren and I don't think of open per se, but
yeah, and I think
Norbert Haug was saying that. And he says it's not destabilized by the hiring of Alonso and things like that. He wants everyone.
Okay.
So they're fine.
Okay, that sounds good.
Except for the gearbox, which Norbert Haug pointed to, really was an issue today. Kimi Raikkonen got better. He's back from his cold, and he came in to test. But yet he had to wait around in the garage to about 1 o'clock because of the gearbox, exactly what he said, and an oil leak. They had actually removed the components to repair, and Kimi's going to return back to the track tomorrow to test again.
Okay.
De La Rosa was the fastest today, but it was the interim modified MP420, not the 21.
Exactly. Driven by Pedro De La Rosa.
Yes, exactly. Pedro De La Rosa, he was doing well, but he was running the older car.
Yeah, exactly. The modified V10.
Yep, exactly. So.
And don't you find that very interesting that still, when everybody, even the lower end teams, are all running V8s, except for Scuderia Toro Rosso, because they plan to run V10s for the season.
All year, yep.
McLaren, being such a top team, I'm stunned that they're still running one MP421 with a V8 and one MP420. Now, I think some of that is for tire development, let's be honest and sincere here.
Yes.
It's not necessarily because of the V8, but I think Steve was trying to make a point earlier.
Mm-hmm. What were you saying, Steve?
That, which point was that? Clark got me off completely off guard.
Okay, Steve lost his train of thought.
The point that I was going to make was I think that Flavio was actually attacking Dennis. And not McLaren.
I know, but see.
Oh, Ron Dennis as an individual, not the McLaren establishment.
Team, so as a whole.
Well, that's
yeah, but Norbert's the only one that can come out and say anything. You know, Ron Dennis is not the open one. So Norbert's the one speaking and giving all the sound bites to the press.
That's fine. Okay.
But we, you know, last week we thought that there was only one Ferrari, but lo and behold,
they finally
the other one out. Remember, I thought it might be hiding. It must have been because the little one, Junior, he was driving the second Ferrari. So they're hiding things. Teams are like they're hiding things still.
I know, everybody's sneaky, huh?
They're all sneaky, right? Yeah, we didn't know there were two Ferraris. There are, you know, there's probably another MP421.
I'm sure there is.
It's hiding, yes.
Okay, let's move on from McLaren. Let's go ahead and talk about Honda.
Okay, Honda, they're really promoting Rubens Barrichello.
Mm-hmm.
They're saying he's their man, and because he has won races before where Jensen has not, so they're relying on his knowledge and experience. And his team, his race mechanic is Jacques Clear, who was the race mechanic. It was with Sato, but before that he was with Jacques Villeneuve, when Jacques Villeneuve was at BAR.
Right.
So he's got a good mechanic with him. And Button was actually faster in testing this week, but they still are promoting Barrichello. And Jensen allowed him to have the lower number car.
Okay. Now, what about some of their motor problems this week?
they've been having little motor problems, not big motor problems, so I think it's nothing. They're still considered the top dogs up at the top of the charts with Renault.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you hear what I saw today about one of the top engineers at Honda mentioning that their motor wasn't as good as the Cosworth?
Yes, I did see that. I thought that was, I was stunned when I saw that. I didn't get to read any further into
it. I couldn't get much on it at all.
Of the year.
It was just a quick blurb out there, and I was blown away by it.
I thought that was really weird when everyone's saying how well they're doing. Someone
I know.
Coming around saying, well, no, the Cosworth is better.
Do us a favor for next week. Can you look into that and get us some more details?
Yes, I do know that Mark Webber was fourth today, though.
In the FW28?
Yep, in the Cosworth. So it went.
From what I've seen, the Cosworth is doing quite well.
He was third.
I was going
to quite well. Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
That's right behind Pedro and.
Fourth was Jenson Button.
Yep. So they've been altering it. Jenson Button was fourth today, but they actually are up there, so it might be true. You know, we were saying before that Cosworth is a V8 kind of specialist. You know, they've done it before. So
exactly.
It could be true.
Okay. One more thing before we move on to next topic.
Yeah.
What about the hiring of Simon?
Yes. Talking about Honda still. They have hired a PR guru and music producer. Simon Fuller, yes, who was the man responsible for the Spice Girls.
Yes.
And he started the show in England. It's called Pop Idol. Over here, we call it American Idol.
Excellent.
So he's got some PR experience, and
so he's
been hired for 5 years.
To make them more exciting? What is he going to do? I mean...
Well, yeah, he's supposed to market the Honda name. Nick Fry, who's the team principal for Honda.
Man, that's got to be a big contract.
Yeah, they get a 5-year contract.
Damn, I love that.
I know, that's a good...
Great.
Drivers don't get 5-year contracts, hardly.
I agree.
Yeah, so he says because F1 gets competition with the viewing audiences from different TV shows like, you know, Desperate Housewives or whatever, mm-hmm. And so they need to go to in that arena and find a specialist to work with them.
That's terrific.
And Bernie Ecclestone is tickled because he likes that thinking about money and...
Exactly, and promo,
says,
PR.
He says that this is exactly the direction the team should be taking to broaden the entertainment and sporting appeal of Formula One to a global audience.
Excellent, okay.
So that Bernie can make more money.
Yeah, exactly.
We need to move it along just a little bit here.
Yep.
Let's jump to Red Bull Racing. What do you got?
Red Bull, they're having troubles with the cooling. That's no secret. But what I didn't know before is that they were having such problems that they actually had to cut large holes into the bodywork to aid the cooling.
That is the best.
That's crazy. It's like a Swiss cheese mobile running around because it so overheats all the time, which is amazing. But today when they were going in Silverstone, it was so freezing cold they couldn't really drive at all.
So the exact opposite. They're not overheating, they're freezing.
It reminds me of an old Jaguar I had once.
Exactly. Very 80s look with the holes cut into it. I was just trying to imagine. It just sounded really funny to me. And moving from Red Bull to Red Bull's unrelated stepsister team, Scuderia Toro Rosso, they unofficially came out of the garage.
The STR1.
They showed their stuff. The STR01, driven by Vitantonio Luisi. Drove a bit. He had one stop on the track due to electrical problem, but it's not really officially going to be launched until the Bahrain, right before the Bahrain GP, one that's officially going to launch later on in the season. But he took it out and ran about. And the reason that I'm calling them the unrelated stepsister team, though first they were kind of called a sister team, because they're nothing alike. Red Bull's team country is Austria, and it's based in Milton Keynes in the UK, and they're powered with the Ferrari motor. But Toro Rosso is based in and flies under the flag of Italy, not Austria, where the owner is from. They fly the flag of Italy, and this is a deal that Paul Stoddart made.
Correct.
When he sold them, he's like keeping his team's jobs there.
Exactly.
Like, you have to be Italy, an Italy team, an Italian team for 2 years if I sell. So that's one of his like gifts going out. Paul's is saying my team can keep their jobs for 2 years. And they're the only ones using the V10 restricted engines. They're nothing alike. They kind of painted similar, but due to the FIA regulations, they cannot be too close to each other. They can't be mirror images.
Correct, of course.
So
they have to be a separate chassis.
They have to be they're separate and they're different motor, everything. So they're pretty different.
Very good.
Yeah.
Okay, let's move on to Midland.
Sure, there's a lot in the news about Midland. Diego Montero and Christian Albers tested the car, the M16, today, but they had to share the one that they have. They only have one. They're another one. They only have one of them, and they shared it, but they covered 150 laps today, so they put some good miles on
That's
it.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. Their boss, I don't know who this, I don't recognize him before this, but the Midland boss is named Colin Coles, and he's making a big stink about Toro Rosso in the restricted V10, that he doesn't like it, and he's saying that if Toro Rosso ends up becoming better than Midland due to this engine, that he's going to, you know, put up a big, big fuss.
Well, I think we anticipated that because they're running the Toyota V8, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes,
well, anybody who sees a V10 ahead of a V8 in a race is going to whine and whine and whine.
Yeah, he has, V10 envy. And he says the only reason they're allowed to do the V10s is if they're a team with less money. There's a loophole that says if, you know, you don't have that much money, you can use the interim cars, restricted V10s for a couple of years, like two. They have 2 years that they can transition over. Mm-hmm. They don't have to V8 right away. But the guy's saying that, you know, baloney, that they have money. It's the guy that owns, you know, Red Bull's got all kinds of money. So,
well, I think it's an acceptable rule. I mean, for God's sakes, the development costs for coming up with a new V8 or being supplied by a manufacturer with a V8 is tremendous. So
yeah,
hurrah! Let's let these smaller teams race with a restricted V10.
And make the big stink. Whoever
yeah,
he is.
Yeah, whatever.
But yeah, exactly. Then another MF1 stink was coming from the driver Christian Albers.
Okay.
Who he drove for Minardi last year, and last year he was talking smack against his fellow countryman Robert Doornbos.
Right.
Who took over at the end of last year. He was with another driver, Patrick Freeshacker,
mm-hmm.
got bumped for this Robert Doornbos, and he doesn't like him. So now Robert Doornbos is the test driver for Red Bull, and Christian's come out saying, you know, pointing to, I call him Doorny, saying that he's someone that needs to keep his mouth shut because he has negative things to say.
Well, I like that.
Yeah,
you know what?
So I guess Doorny's some kind of downer, or some kind of, he doesn't have team spirit.
Well, whatever. You know what? I want to see some drivers fight.
You're saying there's so much love going
yeah,
on.
Yeah, this kissy-kissy love fest is really annoying. In the old days, it wasn't like that at all.
Yeah, it was, so we do have a little cat fight going, a little Dutch cat fight.
Excellent.
So there's a little something-something
Maybe
going
we
there.
Get that to spread
and
a little bit.
And their team boss is also being feisty, so, you know, we've got a little action there on that front. And you also, speaking of Midland still, you mentioned they had a bunch of new test drivers in your last podcast.
Mm-hmm.
The three of them that are rotating this. So they actually have, what I read, they actually have scheduled number of races that they do, nine, you know, like that, two sets of nine. There's three of them, but two sets of nine, there should be three sets. And there's not, doesn't, the math doesn't add up, but they're supposed to be, you know.
Yeah, I'm all lost now. Two sets of nine?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. They're each supposed to have
well, not only that, but we've also lost
races,
a race.
Which means that's only enough for two.
I see.
I don't get where the math goes in, because there's Marcus Winkelhock, Adrian Satul of Germany, and Giorgio Mondini of Switzerland. That's three. I don't know. But then now you throw in also that another guy that's going to be helping out is the fourth driver, Roman Rusinov.
The Russian guy.
The first Russian driver. Yeah, and they're really happy to promote him because he's a link to the Russian heritage of the team owner, and they fly under a Russian flag. So he's coming in to add the Russian marketing appeal because Bernie has been looking at Moscow as a possible place for a GP in the future.
I'm sure he is.
Yeah, so they're really trying to bring Moscow up and get them really excited about Formula One. So there's they have the driver now, the token driver, and they're marketing that so they can maybe, you know, promote a race over there coming in the future.
Okay.
Yeah.
Also, I noticed in some of your notes that you say that Midland features a double-deck front wing similar to the Renault. Now,
yes.
Are you trying to tell me that they're copying Renault?
That is just what the technical specs are going over. That's true. But they, it's a combined design by Midland and Dallara, is supposedly who's the one that has the double-deck front wing. But Renault has that as well. I don't know. That's true. But I think a lot of teams are using some of the same ideas.
Well, you can't blame them.
No. Because they're all kind of in this V8 thing together.
Of course.
Yeah. And I was also talking about possible places for GPs. We have how many places on the current GP schedule that are going down? These circuits are going down.
Well, we know Spa is off the schedule.
Spa is officially off the schedule. That's a very sad thing for the drivers. And
it's sad for everybody. That's my favorite.
I know. It's your favorite. Everyone's, Schumi's favorite, everybody's. Hockenheim's in crisis. We've been hearing that for a while, but it's getting worse. It actually might threaten the GP this year.
Really?
Another one to go down.
No.
But yeah, they might sell it to a bank, and neither German team, motor teams, Mercedes or nor BMW are interested in buying it. So, like, the mayor of Hockenheim was in a big huff in a meeting, and they were storming things, stand down and everything. So
okay.
A big Hockenheim going on over there,
so
and they're fighting.
There's a chance that that will be off the schedule this year.
This year. That's how bad things are getting.
Okay, let's move it along here real quickly.
Yeah.
What else do you have?
Well, I was also speaking of another circuit in crisis, the brand-new Istanbul circuit.
How could that be in crisis?
It's cost $150 million to make, and it's losing money. I think they might run some other races on that circuit.
Well, they need to, obviously, but... I mean that got nothing but praise.
I know. Jensen Button said it was one of his favorite tracks last year, you know, and it's supposedly they're going to look into putting it up for sale. Russia. I said maybe Russia should buy that one and call it the Russian, you know, Grand Prix. But, up for sale. And
well, you know, I think the biggest problem is Bernie and the his F1 company.
Yeah.
They're asking for these huge, outlandish tracks, which I think a lot of times have no charisma or character.
Right.
And personally, you know, when I see tracks like Bahrain, Malaysia, Shanghai, these things are monstrous. And to expect Europe to compete on that high a level, I think we're going to have more bankruptcies. We're going to have more problems. People want bigger and better. And I think it's just a pain in the neck.
Well, yeah, the pits are all glamorous and the paddocks are all glamorous and the stands and everything, but...
Well, not only that, but the money that Bernie forces those tracks to put up to get onto the schedule is exorbitant.
Exactly.
You know, it came out that Bernie made profit last
year. And the ticket prices... And the ticket prices are out of control in Europe.
Yeah, and I don't think a lot of people in Turkey are sporting a lot of bucks.
No.
And a lot of money.
In 98, I spent $350... for a bad seat at Spa-Francorchamps.
Yeah, the dirt hill.
Exactly. So,
yeah,
I mean, it's rough, and I think this whole thing really needs to be examined.
Yeah, because the local people where these tracks are going up are not rich nations per se.
By any stretch, no.
So you have to make people that have money fly in from all over the place to these far-out locations. And that costs a lot of money. I mean, sure, we'd all like to go to Shanghai, but it's far away.
And what I think is going to happen is, like the Series A1 Grand Prix, which has much more reasonable prices, they make a whole weekend out of it, that's going to become a much more attractive race for your average blue-collar race fan.
Yeah, the people that live near these tracks can't afford to go there.
The little people.
Yeah, exactly. And you need a lot of little people to fill up the stands.
Yeah, yeah.
And have just all the stars flying in. That doesn't sell the circuit out.
Okay, so, Desiree.
Yeah.
I hate to say it, but we're at the end of the clock.
Oh, wow.
That was fantastic, though.
Thank you.
Take care.
All right, guys. Good talking with you.
Good talking to you, Desiree.
Say goodnight to the listeners.
Thank you, F1Weekly.com listeners. Until next time.
Okay, thanks, Desiree. We're going to let you go.
Thanks, Boyd. Signing off then.
Thank you.
Okay, talk to you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, we're going to take a commercial break now. We'll be back in 60 seconds. F1 Weekly would like to thank the following sponsors. The Yard, Tallahassee's all-outdoor venue. All shows are always all ages. BYOB, and bring your own lawn chair. More on Life. Watch San Jose's own sketch comedy improv variety show. Watch for the start of the new Season 3, Wednesdays at 11 p.m. in San Jose and Campbell only on Comcast, Cable Channel 15. The band Thieves Cross, who provide the original music on our show. Check out the website run by Brian Thomas out of Las Vegas, Nevada. Remember, if you want to inquire on advertising on our website and weekly podcast, please contact us at info@f1weekly.com or check out the website for more information. Welcome back to f1weekly.com. Clark Rogers here, your host. Steve, how you doing?
Doing great, Clark.
Okay, now we're going to go to the answer of our trivia question from mypodcasttrivia.com.
Well, here's your trivia answer. As we know, Mike Hawthorne in 1958 won the French Grand Prix as his only race en route to his championship for that year. Well, in 1982, Finn Keke Rosberg also won only the French Grand Prix in his championship season for Williams Ford. So there's your answer. Keke Rosberg, 1982.
Now, I enjoyed that trivia question. I thought it was very, very interesting.
That was definitely a good question.
Even though I knew the answer, but it was not an easy one. What's really cool is K.K. Rosberg in 82, driving for Williams. It was called Williams Ford, but the Ford motor was a Cosworth. And today, Nico Rosberg is driving for Williams. And I just think it's just fascinating.
And the Williams is powered by a Cosworth.
Exactly. And so what goes around comes around.
I thought it fascinating that they both won their one race. At the French Grand Prix.
Yeah,
that seems really, wow, odd coincidence.
Exactly. And Mike Hawthorne in 1958, I liked Mike Hawthorne. He was sort of a class act before my time because I was born in 1958.
You just admitted your age in the air.
But what I'm hoping is, let's hope the Williams FW28 does really well this year and Nico wins the French Grand Prix. At least that.
And it was the title.
No, that's not going to happen. Not going to happen. But anyway, if anybody, remember, we're trying this new segment out on the listeners for our podcast. If you guys like it, please let us know. You can email us. info@f1weekly.com, or you can email any of the members on the contact page. Let us know. If you think it's junk, we'll scrap it. But I liked it. I thought it was really cool.
Yeah, it's neat. It's a good way to get a little background.
And mypodcasttrivia.com, Will does just a terrific job.
He does.
He's got
delivery, some interesting stuff.
The whole deal is just excellent. So there you have it. I hope you enjoyed the trivia question. And now we're going to go to Steve for this week's emails.
Yeah, and actually our first email is from will@mypodcasttrivia.com. For what it's worth, and consider this listener feedback, as long as you stick to factual F1 material, clean and sweet, sans rhetoric, as you have been so far, you will maintain those listeners who want facts and are in and out in less than an hour. By the way, have you seen paddocktalk.com? Mike Suka is an information machine. I hope he isn't your enemy, but I get my news wherever I can. Cheers, Will Jones. Well, that was one of the original links on our link page.
Yeah, we have no enemies.
No.
We're people-friendly here.
I would agree with him that Paddock Talk is a great place to get bits and pieces of stories for F1. Mm-hmm. He often has very interesting little rumors coming around that are kind of fun to check out and watch come true later on.
Yeah, no, it's just good stuff.
And then our next one is from Nathan Korosek. Hey, Clark and Steve. Just thought I would drop my comments in about Max Jagger Mosley. You see, I like to compare Max and Mick Jagger. Both of them can still rock on in their own business, but half the time they don't have a clue about what they are doing and could still be high on the drugs that they took in the 70s. Also, just wanted to let you know about the warm weather testing and the three teams that, and only three teams are taking advantage of. I know in your latest podcast you mentioned that no one was going to be prepared at Bahrain because of all the cold weather testing. Well, next week Ferrari, Honda, and Red Bull will be testing at the Sakhar circuit in Bahrain. I was surprised that no one else would be joining them for this test. Cheers, mate. Nathan Korosek, your loyal listener and future world champion. If you get to the championship, don't forget us, Nathan. Yeah, Clark brought that up a little bit earlier, the fact that those three teams would be going to Bahrain to do a little hot testing, so to speak.
Nathan, he's a dedicated podcast listener, and he listens to all the podcasts. Always excellent insight for a young man. And keep up the good work, Nathan. Keep emailing. Because we enjoy it. And is he the one who emailed us the comparison between the Super Aguri logo and the Nike logo?
Yeah, I think he's the one that mentioned it. Huh. Yeah, I actually sent a photograph of the Nike swoosh and the Aguri logo. When you have those two up together, you go, oh, wow.
Yeah, so I don't know what's up with that. But I automatically assumed that the Super Aguri logo was some ancient symbol of wisdom and courage. But I'm naive when it comes to the Asian arts and their traditions. But sure enough, I was wrong. It's a superimposed Nike.
Yeah, would be very interesting to see if they get Nike doing some of their gear.
No, but I thought that Nathan was very interesting in bringing that up because he's the only one that brought it up.
Yeah.
And I wasn't even sure if he was emailing the right podcast.
Yeah, me neither.
Because his email said agreed and had the two pictures, but no big deal. We're one happy family in the F1 world.
One big happy family.
So there you have it. Any other comments on past current events?
Not a whole lot happening right now. It's picking up a little bit as we start getting closer
closer. To be honest with you, I think there's quite a bit happening. I think it's actually frantic because March 8th, they're in Bahrain getting ready for a race.
Yep.
Everybody's antsy.
It's less than a month away.
We haven't even seen the Super Aguri car yet, but it comes out February 14th, as they said. I can't wait to see pictures.
I was reading an article on that saying that it will be impossible to recognize
the Arrows model.
The Arrows model in the new Super Aguri car.
I believe it. It doesn't take that much work.
It's a little bodywork that'll look completely different.
I think the bodywork will look completely different because don't forget they're just using the chassis. I don't think we're going to see the Arrows bodywork.
Yeah, well, they were saying that some of the changes that they have to make from the 2002 car are Arrow related to new regulations.
Exactly, and I think we might see an Arrows chassis with similar 2005 Honda look.
Yeah, probably.
Because, they're doing this on the fly, and it's got to be pretty hectic. So I think behind the scenes right now, it's frantic, it's exciting, and I'm a big Super Aguri fan.
I'm looking forward to seeing them get on the track.
I can't wait till the merchandise comes out.
I wonder if Sato will piss off Michael enough this year that he'll actually throw his helmet at him as he drives by.
Like a NASCAR guy?
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
Kind of like the NASCAR deal.
I doubt it, though. But no, I can't wait till the merchandise comes out. I hope they get it up online really soon because I want to get at least a cap. Baseball cap of Super Aguri. Anyway, I do want to mention some of the speeds and how they did in Jerez today. Real quickly, I think everybody knows Pedro de la Rosa. We've repeatedly said it. Pedro de la Rosa came in first in the MP420 with the V10 at 1:17.451. The Renault with Giancarlo Fisichella came in second, 1:17.479. Mark Webber, third, FW28, 1:17.767. Jenson Button, fourth in the Honda, 1:17.990. Jacques Villeneuve came in fifth in the BMW Sauber with 1:18.179. Nick Heinfeld came in sixth in the BMW Sauber, 1:18.278. Heikki Kovalainen in the Renault, 1:18.542. Nico Rosberg in the Williams, 1:18.843. Kimi Raikkonen in ninth, 18.929. Jarno Trulli in the Toyota, 19.083. Ralph right behind him in 19.320. And then the Toro Rosso, the only one, 1:19.394. Christian Albers in the Midland, 1:20.685. And last but not least, Thiago Montero in the Toyota-powered Midland at 1:20.922. So there you go. I think tire development is mostly what's happening right now and getting the bugs out as Honda and McLaren had some problems. We're getting electrical problems. We're getting oil leaks. We're getting gearbox problems.
Gremlin chasing.
We have. I have to admit, the seamless gearbox that Williams is running, we've heard nothing. It's not mentioned. I've heard no problems at all.
I haven't heard anything about it.
So I wonder what's going on with that.
I wonder if that might be contributing to the fast time that that they had today.
Exactly. So I'm not sure. But I think we're going to hear more from that. Also, I think we'll hear from the FIA about the seamless transmission because it seems to me that it might not be legal.
Yeah.
I think they want a certain interval of milliseconds between gear changes. When that disappears, you're really going towards somewhat of a full automatic.
Yeah, definitely. You've almost like no clutch, so it kind of takes away the...
I don't know. I mean, I can't even imagine driving a seamless transmission. Well, I drive old cars anyway. I'm a stick shift guy.
But it still comes down to, it's still a paddle shift. It's just that it's instantaneous change in gears.
I do want to remind our listeners that we've updated the photos on the website, including Desiree's picture. And we actually have Nathan's picture up there. And now, Nathan, I just want to tell everybody you're signing your emails, the future world champion. Keep up the good work. You have to be arrogant to get there. So I like that. Also, take the survey on the website. No need to give any personal information. This survey is so we can provide better sponsors and upgrade our website and podcast quality. Take it now because we'll be taking that survey down pretty soon. We also want to thank Brian Thomas for providing the music for the show. Thanks to our producer, David Tapia. And thanks to all the people who listen to our show and send in emails.
Yes,
we've been getting good emails. And they
keep
really,
it up. Keep us on our toes.
Well, they cheer us up, too.
Yeah, especially in the grind of work.
Oh, man, in this dark studio, it's mildewy and musty. A friendly email is just good. Also, if anyone is interested in cross-promotion, either through our podcast or F1Weekly.com's website, please contact us at info@F1Weekly.com. Check us out on iTunes, Podcast Nova, Odeo, Podcast Alley, and Yahoo Podcasts. And we now have added our listing to Podcast 411 and Fire Ant. All these have direct links from our website, Steve. Pretty
wow.
Cool, huh?
Yep.
I know, it's nifty.
Dave's been busy.
Yeah, I know. You know, we have to say our producer, David Tapia, does a fantastic job. Podcast number 12 was done without a producer. And
we felt it showed.
It not only did it show, but I was drenched with perspiration. It was just hectic. I mean, it just doesn't go very smooth.
No, definitely not as smooth as when we get Dave.
So thanks, David Tapia, for producing the show. He does a great job.
Thanks, Dave.
Okay, Steve.
Good night, Clark.
That's podcast number 13. We're wrapping it up. Good night, Steve.
Good night, Clark.
Good night,
good
David.
Good night, Dave.
This is Desiree for F1Weekly.com, thanking you, the subscribers and members of our listening audience, for listening to our podcast, reporting and commenting on Formula One, the highest echelon of motorsport, a blend of technology, tradition, glamour, and guts, all wrapped up in a high-speed package. That's F1Weekly.com for all your Formula One needs.
Number nine.